Hey, y'all, it's Garth.
I love the country music family. I love the country music family of artists and the country music family of songs. Some of the greatest artists to ever grace music are under the flag of country music. And some of the greatest songs in music history are under the flag of country music. The Big 615, you're going to hear the newest that country music has to offer. At the same time, you're going to hear the newest that the country classics have to offer. I want to hear the new single from George Strait, and I want to hear it right beside the new single from Luke Combs. And I think the country music family is one of those families that is very inclusive and wants both the established artists and the new artists to be side by side in this thing we call country music.
Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway, Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
All righty, how we doing? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, Derek Carr can't stop talking about his old team in Las Vegas Raiders. Now, he's been doing interviews, so I give him credit for that, and I'm sure he's being asked a lot of these questions, but Stu Kovacs told us, he's a big Raiders fan and loved Derek Carr, that a few weeks ago, Derek Carr said something along the lines of that he was done talking about the Raiders, and there's a bunch of quotes right now that are popping up from Derek Carr in an interview that he did where he's clearly not done talking about the Raiders. I don't think Stu is lying. I kind of vaguely remember Derek Carr saying something along the lines of that he's no longer to talk about his old team and he's moving on and moving past that, and he's all focused on the New Orleans Saints. But you have this gap period from OTAs and mandatory minicamps to the start of training camp, and now you're popping back up in the news where I don't think it's going to impact the Saints season this year, because that division just stinks. If the Saints can't win the division this year, then it's really an indictment, I think, on Derek Carr. And also, I know that you have to have confidence when you're a quarterback and when you're a professional athlete. Derek Carr seems like a good dude, so I don't want this to get taken the wrong way. But what I'm about to say is, Derek Carr, I think he believes that he's a legend. And I know, right, he has a bunch of records with the Raiders, but I can't call Derek Carr a legend. He's the definition of an above-average quarterback. No one ever looks at Derek Carr and goes, wow, that's a great quarterback. That's a quarterback that I have to have. I'll give him credit for a few years ago when that organization, and it's been a mess for a while, but when you had everything going on with the horrible Henry Ruggs situation, you had Damon Arnett, you had Gruden getting canned or resigning, however you want to call that, in the middle of the season, early on in the season. Derek Carr did an admirable job. I will give Derek Carr a standing ovation, but it's now getting to a point, and we'll play you some of the audio in a bit, where it feels like each and every year, Derek Carr is the guy that says, this is my year. This is my year to prove everything wrong. And he keeps on just showing you that he's an up-and-down quarterback. Whenever you want to start to believe in Derek Carr, because he's someone that is, for the most part, easy to root for, and the way that he showed the leadership a few years ago, but whenever he ends up showing to people that, okay, it's my time to really get going, there's always that letdown. And then the response after that is this motivation card, like bleep the world, bleep this thing, bleep that thing. And it almost comes off as like, woe is me, where it's always the situation around Derek Carr. And I get it. The Raiders have been a dump for the entirety of Derek Carr's tenure as their quarterback. But it's almost as if Derek Carr likes to kind of play and feed into that victim card of, oh, I had this tough and I had that tough and everyone's against me and I'm going to show everyone I'm great. But I never see him actually being consistently a great quarterback. And that's what starts to frustrate me with Derek Carr is I feel as if we have this conversation of revenge for Derek Carr and Derek Carr is going to put his stamp on the NFL and what he's going to be as a quarterback every other year. And that's the part where I'm kind of just tired and fatigued when it comes to the Derek Carr conversation because you are what you are. You're an above-average quarterback. You're not great. You're not horrible. You're not even very, very, very good. Like, you're a solid, at times, good quarterback, but you never spark that fear and making anyone believe that you're an elite-level quarterback in the National Football League.
He's a guy 12 to 15 range.
Yeah.
I think he's consistent, but never gets you over the top. And that's part of the reason why we're looking at a situation where he's no longer on the Raiders. Say which one, how he got here. But part of the reason why they decided to move off him was they can never win the big game. And he's never good enough for a long enough stretch to where it was worth it.
Let's hear from Derek Carr a little bit. This is Derek Carr and his reaction to being benched the final two games of the season with the Raiders. This courtesy of the Sacramento Bee.
For lack of a better term, I was very upset. I was mad, you know, for, you know, you spend 9 years in a place, you know, you have all the records, you know, you can play at a high level and, you know, for something to get in the way, whether it was whatever reason, you know, money related or whatever, you know, injury related, you know, I would have said, I don't even want the money just to play two more times in front of our fans, you know, and, I didn't get that opportunity. So it definitely lit a fire inside me to keep going.
I'm cracking up. Is that a saxophone in the background? He sounds as if you're getting ready for a wedding, right? As the bride and the groom are going to walk down the aisle, obviously separately, and you have some music waiting in the background. At first, the music was kind of somber, and it was kind of slow, and I go, oh, are we about to get taps in the background with the trumpets? But then it picks up a little bit. The music in the background, Hickey, totally distracted me from actually listening. I know what Derek Carr said, but from actually listening to anything that Derek Carr actually said.
Does sound like he's in an elevator and like going to the doctor's office on floor 3, kind of the same tunes you would hear going in there.
It's almost as if he's in the waiting room at a doctor's office, and he's just bitching and telling everyone his problems, and you just hear the music in the doctor's office that's playing off in the background. You have someone sitting next to you saying, uh-oh, here comes this guy again. This happened last time I was in the doctor's office, and now he's going to talk my ear off. That's what it really did sound like, Hickster.
He's at an event. I don't really, like, for kids, I don't really know who made the music choice. I would say maybe
Oh, it was a charity event?
Yes.
Okay.
He's at, but
so good work by him.
You'd think maybe the music be a little bit more upbeat, a little more lively, a little more happy.
Well, whenever the media gets a chance to talk to players, the background just never matters. How many times do you have a serious press conference going on or a serious locker availability, and you got guys playing ping pong in the background, and you can barely hear what the person is saying? So that doesn't surprise me if there's some music in the background. It was just funny
to me. Get better music. Like, yeah. you're at a charity event that's for a good reason. Like, let's get some upbeat music to reflect the good work you're doing, not elevator music by like a live saxophonist in the background.
So you're not a fan of the saxophone players, is what you're saying?
I actually used to play the saxophone back in the day.
Did you really?
Only instrument I ever played, that's right. Outside of the recorder.
Were you good?
I did for 3 years. I was okay. Never great. I don't think I was the worst saxophone player out of the group.
Did you ever take a New York State Music Association test? I believe I got
NISMA.
That right.
NISMA. No, I did not. I was never that serious into it. We just did it for school. It was like after school activity, like 5th to 7th grade, once or twice a week, something like that. So never really went all out outside of the few concerts we had.
I took piano lessons as a kid, and I had a perfect score, actually, 1 year.
Wow.
New York State Music Association, NISMA. And I got a perfect score. I want to say I took the test 4 times. And I think the 3rd and 4th time, I ended up getting a perfect score. And the first 2 times, I was like 1 or 2 points off. I was very, very close.
Zach Gelb, the pianist.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, it's technically correct.
I know it's a technical term.
I love saying that word. Very funny.
Whenever I see Sal Palantonio, I could only think of him farting that one time when I was standing next to him in a bathroom at a Sixers game. When you say that word, everyone just thinks of another word. And that's
one of those
moments where you just hope you don't say the other word. One of those tongue twisters on the radio that we've all had.
But to reflect your piano playing skills, yes. That is the proper title to call you by. And it's not offensive, and it's, if anything, a compliment.
And I will say, a lot of time people tell you if you haven't played the piano in a while, it's like riding a bike. You just get back on the bench and you end up playing. That's the farthest thing from the truth. I tried to play the piano when my parents were selling the house, and I went back to Long Island to go help them move out and pack some stuff up. And I sat down next to the piano before they sold the piano, and I tried to play the songs that I used to play. Like, I always played my mom Moon River. She always loved the song Moon River. And I got about, I think it's called a chord, right? Like one chord out. And then after that, it was just a disaster.
So you could not play the Succession theme open?
No.
That's a great piano open. That would be pretty cool, but okay.
Let's hear more Derek Carr. Derek Carr, and by the way, let's just be clear. The Raiders weren't going to play Derek Carr in the final two games because if he got hurt, they would not have been able to get out of those the $40 million that they would have owed him. So you could have a problem with how the Raiders treated Carr, and you could say, oh, they didn't do right by him when he was the quarterback, and Josh McDaniels bringing Jimmy Garoppolo after getting rid of Derek Carr doesn't make a lot of sense. And you could be right with the things that you're saying. But if they were going to move on, and that's a decision that you're bringing guys like Josh McDaniels and David Ziegler, whether you like them or not, to make, if they didn't believe that Derek Carr was the right quarterback for this team, then, Hickey, it would have been just the definition of stupidity or the definition of the Raiders to actually play Carr, and then he gets hurt. It's one thing for now for him to say, oh, it's nothing about the money. I would have given the money back. It doesn't matter. I just wanted to play in front of the fans one last time. That's a load of crap. John Gruden said the same thing, that if he didn't have success, he'd give the money back. Now, there's a whole lot more to that, but he didn't have success, and John Gruden got a pretty nice settlement package, if you ask me.
Cash those checks without asking or thinking twice about it.
Let's hear more from Derek Carr. This is Derek Carr, once again, the Sacramento Bee, on if he would have returned to the Raiders if they decided they wanted to keep him.
You know, once they made my wife cry, that was pretty much over. You know, once they made her cry, that was out, you know. But the love for my teammates is what probably would have made me do it. But the way it worked out and the timing of things, I was just, it was time for me to move on.
He's just so dramatic. Now, I'm sure his wife actually did cry, and you forget about the family aspect of this as well, right? You're with a team for so long, and you raise a family, pretty much they know you as the quarterback of the Raiders, and you have relationships, and you have bonds, but that's part of the business. It's unfortunate. It's part of all business, where your spouse may not be happy when you get let go of a job, or you know that your chapter with the company is coming to a close. But, oh, my wife cried, and then all of a sudden, you know, I probably would have gone back if they wanted me just because of the love of my teammates. Like, you can't have it both ways. It's almost as if he just tries to make this situation as dramatic as possible. It's very simple. You love the organization. They didn't love you back anymore. A new regime came in, and that was it. I don't want to sound like I'm a terrible human being, but this stuff happens all the time in the NFL. Doesn't mean that it's easy to handle, but him bringing up that his wife was crying at the end, like, I just don't get the point of that, Hickey. I really don't.
Well, I guess the only thing I understand and I do sympathize with him for is the fact that he loved the organization and they cut him, but they didn't have a plan. Like that, I understand like that aspect of, look, if they got Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or they drafted someone, okay, it makes sense, and they kind of rebuild, like, at least have a direction, and you weren't fitting that direction. If you're Derek Carr and like, all right, we're done with you, we're cutting you, and we have no idea what we're doing next, no clue, and we're going to just throw it together and see what happens, I can understand you feeling extra hurt because it's, you just don't want me. I want you, you don't want me, and you don't even know what you're, like, you don't want me so bad, you're going to move off of me with no idea what the hell you're doing at the most important position.
To me, those are two different conversations, because I agree in the second part of what you said, that the Raiders, and I've said this before on this show, the Raiders' plan after getting rid of Derek Carr so far has been laughable, and it doesn't make sense. You bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, you could argue, even though Jimmy Garoppolo has won more games in this league, that Derek Carr is viewed as a slightly better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't see this upgrade where you go, aha, this team got that much better. You could make a case with also trading away Darren Waller this offseason, and now Davante Adams being unhappy with the Raiders, no matter how he wants to spin it, after he said the comments that he did, that this team got worse. But if I'm Josh McDaniels and David Ziegler, even if you don't like McDaniels, and I know you can't stand him, I don't really fault McDaniels for moving on from Carr, because I think McDaniels made the right decision in realizing, it's time to split from Derek Carr. But where he failed, at least 1 year after, in that first year after, is getting the right quarterback in there to replace Derek Carr. Because no one looks at Jimmy Garoppolo as the long-term replacement for Derek Carr. So I think it's two different types of situations. But I don't think the Raiders are wrong in moving on from Carr. But what they did afterwards, yeah, that's where they absolutely lose me. And finally, let's hear Derek Carr says he appreciates Cameron Jordan saying his goal is to get Derek Carr back to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl this season. The Super Bowl this year is going to be played in Las Vegas.
For a defensive leader to, you know, say that he wants to take me back there just shows his heart, right? You know, that his love for his teammate, you know, that he wants to do something like that for his teammate. And that's pretty much all our guys, and that's why I fell in love with the place. It's going to be a lot of work to have to do that. And there's a lot that we got to do. You know, everyone wants to pick us first in the NFC South because no one's played a game yet. You know, these are all new teams. It's a whole new season. There's a lot of work, and we have a tough division that we are going to have to compete against. And we're excited about the challenge, but it would be a kind of a cool story to be back there.
I know a lot of that is quarterback speak right there, Hickey, but there you go again, playing up the drama. This is not a tough division. This division stinks. If you don't win this division, this season is absolutely a failure for the New Orleans Saints. It absolutely is. But they got no shot to make it to a Super Bowl this year. Even an NFC that's not that strong, that after Philadelphia and the 49ers, it's up there for grabs. But I can't see any way in where the New Orleans Saints this year, Hickey, are in Las Vegas and you get the ultimate, oh, I would throw up if we have to deal with 2 weeks of Derek Carr saying, I'm back in Las Vegas, even though the Raiders aren't here. I'm here, I'm standing in front of you, and you guys made a big mistake. I would vomit over that.
I would love, though, if he throws a touchdown in the Super Bowl, unlikely, probably impossible, throws a touchdown in the Super Bowl, looks up to, like, the Mark Davis owner's box, maybe Josh McDaniels is there, too, since he's kind of like, you know, the host of the event, points up there and just gives, like, a little thumbs up or something, a little emotion of, you got rid of me? I would appreciate that.
Mark Davis's hairpiece would probably fall off.
If it hasn't already.
He'd probably then look at Josh McDaniels and say, you're fired. You're out of here. Go kind of Vince McMahon, Donald Trump.
Could you imagine that it takes over the Super Bowl? Josh McDaniels fired mid-game after Derek Carr throws to the third touchdown of the first half.
Put it this way. If Derek Carr's in the Super Bowl this year, the Super Bowl is going to stink. That's going to be one boring, awful, terrible, dreadful Super Bowl if the Saints are actually in it.
We'll be there. Looking forward to it.
I actually may pass on that trip.
Actually, I'm good.
Actually, let me clarify that statement. I wouldn't stay for the game if the Raiders are in it. Even though I really want to go to that stadium, I think I'd just go for the trip to Vegas. Maybe go out there Monday through Thursday. Take Friday off right before the Super Bowl. Protest the Super Bowl.
You get some attention for that. Sports radio host, protest the Super Bowl because Derek Carr is in it.
I can see the comments now. Zach Gill, protest the Super Bowl. Who? Tell that tubby to shut up. Oh, that would be all the comments. Who cares what this guy does? Blah, 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 blah. All righty, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll talk some NBA offseason next with former NBA player Ryan Hollins.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat some NBA offseason. We'll do so with former NBA big man in Ryan Hollins, kind enough to join us right now. Ryan, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Doing good, man. Anytime.
How do you interpret what's going on right now with Portland and Damian Lillard? Because I keep on hearing the reports that Dame wants to win and he wants to win a championship, and then he keeps on giving Portland that opportunity to show that they could improve that roster, and I'm not really seeing how this is going to lead to Dame being on a team in Portland this year that people are going to look at as a contender.
Well, here's the reality. He's going to, at a worst-case scenario, he's going to need another star who can carry the load as he can, or at least a little bit under. He's going to need a good team to be able to compete for a championship. And I think just what I know about Dame and playing against him and knowing his personality, I don't think he's overblowing anything. He just doesn't want to go into a rebuild, and I think that's fair to ask with his talent and his age and the work that he's put in the NBA. So I think this is a far different situation, and some may think it's hypocritical of him, but I think it's fair to say he's almost in that, you know, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen type of boat where, you know what, he's done everything to try to win a championship, and he hadn't been able to get there. And I think that even fans in Portland understand that. So I think we fully agree with what Dame is trying to do. And ultimately, obviously, you know, Miami's really stepping forth as, you know, one of the better suitors. But I think we're just going to have a lot to look forward to and kind of see. But I'm intrigued to see how this plays out. But, you know, personally, if they can't build around him, and all he's asking is for, he's not asking for a super team, he just wants a fair shot. If he can't get that, I think we can all understand Damian Lillard moving forward.
Yeah, my brain tells me that he should absolutely leave and request a trade. And like you said, maybe get traded to Miami as one of the destinations that out there. And it would make a ton of sense. But my gut keeps on telling me that ultimately he will be back in Portland. And I think that's a mistake. What do you think ends up playing out here between Damian Lillard and Portland?
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes. And the reason I wouldn't be surprised is just it's been time. And I think Dame has gone about things, you know, as a professional in the right way. And this is only me assuming, because you're going to ask for that hometown Bradley Beal discount where, you know, hey, Portland may not get back the most attractive assets. But I think because of the reputation of Damian Lillard, you'd have to look forward and say, hey, man, let's keep this guy happy. You know, there was more in return for Poole than Beal. And you're going, how could that happen? I think there's just a respect that it was time for Bradley Beal to be able to move on and go win and go compete. And you weren't asking that high enormous price that you were earlier for him in his career. You know, when others were asking for Bradley Beal, and it was like, well, Bradley's, you know, just off the market, you know. So, you know, I think that Damian Lillard, you'll see the same. Hey, where do you want to go? We saw it in Houston with James Harden. James Harden, the best trade, the best assets weren't necessarily coming from the Nets, but that's where James wants to go, and hats off to the Fertitta family for taking care of him.
Talking to Ryan Hollins right now, when you look at the Miami Heat, if they were to acquire Dame Lillard, I know they were just in the NBA Finals, but would you view them as the favorite to get back to the Finals out of the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think it would be extremely hard to view them as a favorite, but it would be a team that you can't count out. And I think, man, it's fair to say the way that the league is going right now, there almost are no favorites as far as competing for a championship. And I think is you're looking at Jimmy Butler. Jimmy gave you all that he could. Kyle Lowry gave you all that he could. And Bam Adebayo, but you're saying they were just one guy away. They could get the stops. They played hard. They did everything. They got there, but they just could not find another guy to put the ball in the basket. And I think at the end of the day, that's what Damian Lillard could provide. So, obviously, Miami's extremely intrigued. I think the Tyler Hero situation, he's the name that is going to keep popping up in the trade market. And obviously, because, you know, unfortunately for him, they ended up winning without him. So I think there's a lot that we're going to have to look forward to or be intrigued by with that. But Miami would definitely be right there in the mix of the teams that we look at, the Bostons, the Philadelphia. They would be absolutely there if they do get Damian Lillard.
If Dame does become available, a lot of people have floated out Miami, like we're talking about Ryan Hollins, also the Brooklyn Nets as well. Are there other teams? I know a lot of teams could use Damian Lillard, but you go, okay, that would make sense for both parties.
Well, Brooklyn is very intriguing because it's a box office city. You get Dame a chance to see what he can do, similar to LeBron going over to Los Angeles. That was a really cool thing to see. But if you're going to see what Damian Lillard can do with those role players over there, right there, you may not say there's a second star, but you can say that is the greatest assortment of 3-and-D guys and role players on one team that you have in the league. They're just pressed for a guy who can put the ball in the basket, and you can argue that Mikal Bridges has stepped up and showed some, you know, some kind of superstar like qualities this season. Man, he dropped a couple 40 balls, and I think he's kind of just overly delivered since becoming a Brooklyn Net. So I think that's definitely a situation you look forward to, and Brooklyn's clearly loaded with draft picks and, you know, stacked up for the future.
Is there a path for Milwaukee or Boston to add Dame?
you may just have to give up too much. And then at the end of the day, when you're talking about Damian Lillard, he's a guy where you're going to have to respect what he wants. I don't think he's a guy where you just say, hey, you're going to go where we tell you to go. He's got enough of a reputation where he asks, you know, you send him and you try to get the best in return there. So I don't think that those teams would be in play because he has not expressed interest there. And I think that he's just too respected from the Portland organization for anything to happen within that unless he gives the okay.
Talking to Ryan Hollins, how do you think CP3, Chris Paul, is going to fit in with the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, I think Chris Paul will be just fine. I think what you're going to have to establish is, hey, what role does Chris Paul take with the Warriors? You know, what is this a, you know, old CP, or is this CP potentially coming off the bench and running a high IQ offense and then finishing games out? Hey, is this knowing that, you know, Steph or Clay may miss a number of games and they kind of rotate in, give me what you got, and, you know, instead of having the kind of high-powered scoring from Poole in youth, you get the experience of a Chris Paul, and they end up playing the IQ game in Golden State. So, listen, I'll say this. I'll be the first. I am extremely intrigued. I was shocked. I was blown away that that trade actually happening. And I think it would be fun to watch. I play with Chris. He knows how to get you the basketball. But, you know, from playing on those Lob City Clippers teams with Chris, I think it's very intriguing to see how they're going to fit. But at the end of the day, it's basketball. Chris has nothing but respect for what they've been able to do in Golden State. But it's going to be one to watch, fellas. I'm sure we know that.
And the assumption is that Draymond Green will now be back with the Warriors. They had that decision. Do you rock and roll with Poole and not re-sign Draymond Green, or do you trade Jordan Poole? They clearly did the latter part of that conversation. Do you think that was the right decision to trade Jordan Poole to the Wizards and then move forward and bring back Draymond Green?
You know what? I'll tell you this. I think there's a lot of things internally happening there. And for us to assume from the outside, the exterior, from the exterior, no, you go with the young guy, you figure it out, you win a championship with him, and you guys go win. But from the interior, you don't know how those guys got along. You don't know if frustration was setting in with guys. You don't know where Jordan Poole stood. So I think at the end of the day, I think we just won't know. But externally, from our eyes, we're going, you know, that trade didn't make sense. You guys just won. Run it back. Go figure it out. But, you know, apparently there's enough damage done from that run that they were saying, no, we don't want to do this anymore with Jordan Poole. Let's move forward. And I'm telling you, man, that was a strong trade. It's rare that you see guys go out and get paid and then come right back and get moved. That is rare, and especially young guys.
Ryan Hollins, in the last few years, you've been an analyst for the Rockets. A few weeks ago, there's a lot of feel that James Harden's going to wind back up in Houston. Now a lot of people kind of expect him to wind back up in Philadelphia. How much of a chance is there that James Harden has a little reunion and comes back to the Houston Rockets?
I mean, I think there's definitely interest there. You know what James Harden has brought to the table. I can tell you, I can't speak for the organization, but I know that the city loves James Harden here. There's no love lost. I think there's definitely interest. I don't think there's anything you can rule out, and it doesn't happen until it happens. But I think it is. It's going to be exciting to see. But I think for James Harden, man, I think you're excited for him moving forward. But I honestly don't know. But it's always good to be welcome in two different places and have a home.
When you look back at the draft for the Rockets, I couldn't believe that they got Cam Whitmore. I know they also got Amen Thompson with that fourth overall pick, but Cam in most mock drafts was projected to go in the top 10. Not a bad job there with the Rockets in the draft with 4-20.
There were notions of Cam Whitmore going at 4 to the Rockets. There was real consideration because you got a guy who can step in and come in ready to play. The fact that he dropped, I mean, that is unbelievable. And I think, man, I think it is going to be fun. And hats off to the front office in Houston for having another slam dunk. Listen, the year before, Alperen Şengün, still at a draft. Last year, Tari Eason, still at a draft. Are you kidding me? Cam Whitmore? These are moves that are being made by the Houston Rockets front office that may not be appreciated now, but you're going to look back and go, man, are these guys all on the same team? I think, obviously, hopefully, you keep the band together. I'm speaking selfishly, not from the organization, but I think that to those not the Lob City Clippers, not my Clippers, but the knucklehead Clippers where you had Darius Miles and Corey Maggette and Quentin Richardson and Dooling and all those guys, and Elton Brand, all those guys on one team, man. And it's like, you know what, if you can keep them together, it would be fun to watch. But I just love what my Rockets are doing, man, honestly.
What are your expectations year one for Victor Wembanyama with the Spurs?
Man, I think it's going to be a real adjustment. I think you're going to get some amazing highlights, some flashes. But I think we're all looking at the, you know, the step back, the one-legger threes. I mean, how could we not? But I think what I know about Greg Popovich, I think what we're going to see from Greg is simplicity in Victor's game. You're going to see him getting rim runs. You're going to see him roaming defensively. I think you're going to see him spacing. And I think what the biggest thing from Victor, if I'm selfishly saying what we want to see, is him being a matchup nightmare. If he's going to have the ability to post up the little guys and take the big guys to the perimeter, man, that becomes extremely hard to guard. So I'm intrigued to watch, but I think Victor's going to have his work cut out. And I tell you one thing, when you're watching Victor Wembanyama, one thing that we're looking for, the main thing is mentality. He's going to fall on his face a couple times. He's going to have some struggles, but where is his mentality going to be? And that will really tell you how great this guy is going to be. But I think the sky is the limit for his talent.
If you were running the Dallas Mavericks, would you be bringing back Kyrie Irving?
Of course I would, all day and twice on a Sunday. I spoke with the Dallas front office several times, and the one thing that they said is, you know, the first notion is, oh, man, Kyrie came here and messed things up. And he said, no, these guys love to play with Kyrie. He's been a breath of fresh air. And when you commit and make that type of trade for a caliber of a guy by the name of Kyrie Irving, that's a long-term project. And I think that Kyrie clearly respects that they made the move and had the, you know, were willing to, you know, take a chance on him and move forward with them. So I think you got the hard part solved. You can't get the Kyries and the Lucas. They don't grow on trees. You can get the Ryan Hollinses and the role players and the defensive guys. You can get those, but you can't get those guys that can go and fill it up. So I think Dallas is doing a great job over there, and it'll be intriguing to watch if they can get it to click and work.
Yeah, but I'd be uneasy giving Kyrie a long-term extension. If it was a one-year or two-year deal, I'm all for it. But when you talk about now 4 years or so, there's just been commitment issues with Kyrie ever since leaving Cleveland.
Yeah, but you know what? Make it fit. Kyrie, this is your team. We're committed to you. You know, if you're Dallas, that just doesn't always pop up. And maybe, you know, we can be the ones that make it work. And I just think it's a play you have to make. Because Dallas hadn't just been hitting it in free agency. They hadn't signed any players by the caliber of Kyrie. So guess what? They hadn't drafted because they're too good. So guess what? You got to make a trade. Okay? So to look at that perspective, you couldn't sign the guys, and you drafted Luka, so now you ain't going to be that low again. So guess what you got to do? You got to trade for him. And they did, and that's just the way of the NBA. If you're a team that's successful, and guess what? You ain't going to trade Luka and go start over and get into the draft lottery. So, you know, you have to trade to make moves for guys like Kyrie.
Last thing I'll ask you, Ryan Hollins, just going back to Damian Lillard. Let's say that you were close with him. Let's just say you guys were teammates and now you're out of the league. I know that you're an analyst right now, but you're no longer playing. And he called you up and he said, Ryan, what should I do? What would your response be to him?
I think take the road that he's taking. I think he's shown his patience in Portland. I think everybody respects that. And I think just get that, like, look at the signings. Hey, who are we signing? Who are we bringing in? And if you can, I think the Miami Heat would be the team to go to and play for and win at. But I think, you know, stay patient with that front office. Keep the communication. Things don't need to get ugly. But if it's time to move forward, you know, make that move. And I'm sure that Miami, man, I mean, dude, they just got players just growing on trees, man. That looks like, you know, right outside of Houston, one of the better front offices that we've ever seen. These are undrafted guys getting busy in the NBA Finals. So it's fair to say they've got the assets to move to a Portland to make something happen.
Ryan Hollins, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much, my friend.
All right, brother.
There you go. Ryan Hollins joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk more Dame when we come on back.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will have a news brief coming up in the next hour. We'll also talk about a potential surprise firing in the NFL. And that is based off of Hickey's video that he put out there today. Now, let me just be clear to everyone. The Hickey shower no cap segment is not a Zach Gelb Show bit. Hickey can do whatever he wants. I'm only with Hickey for 6 hours out of the day. So when Hickey is here, I guess people think I'm responsible for Hot Take Hickey, but when he is out of the CBS Sports Radio studios, I have no control over the things that Hot Take Hickey is going to do. I have been hearing that the shower no cap video has been talked about on our morning show on the network, and they are saying, like Bogus said, this is a Zach Gelb Show bit. I need to maybe distance myself from the Hot Take Hickey shower no cap. This is Hickey's idea, if you are not familiar with it. And Hickey, tell me if I'm wrong here. Hickey gets into the shower and he records himself when he's shampooing his hair and scrubbing the rest of his body and ends up giving sports takes. That's what Hickey has been doing. How'd you come up with this, by the way? I will say, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the actual bit, I think the name is one of the more creative things you've done. Shower no cap. I'll give you credit on that where credit is due.
Thank you, sir. I was recording a video of whatever, some, I feel like a month ago, some take.
In the shower, though?
No. This is beforehand. I'm just sitting in a chair. And like, I'm like,
what were you doing?
All right, I'm a no name. No one really knows who I am. Most people don't care what I'm going to say. So how can I
stand out?
That's
not true. People know who you are. Anytime you get a prediction wrong, we get tweets all the time. Hickey has done it again. The Hickey X.
That's true. I would like some more attention maybe on stuff before I predict it right or wrong. Just, wow, what does he have to say? Not, oh, wow, what an idiot, got it wrong. Let me go make fun of him. Like a lot of people have liked to do in recent times.
Yeah.
So I figured, well, how can I be different than just giving a sports take of me just recording a video? And I thought, you know what? Let me go in the shower. I love standing in the shower. I'm on Twitter in the shower all the time anyway. Might as well just record myself. A lot of great thoughts, at least for me, happen when I'm just thinking in the shower. So, you know, let's just go for it.
I think that's a very peaceful time when you're in the shower. I do agree that that's some of the best thinking that people have is when they're in the shower. But I would not want to be recording myself while I'm in the shower. Do you do these all in one take? Just wondering, or is it, have there been times where you had to do multiple takes of you in the shower?
Well, multiple, like sometimes I'll screw up like halfway, or sometimes I'll redo it because I'll record it, usually to go really behind the curtain here, literally, I guess, and figuratively. I like to do it when I first get in, just so then I can get the soap going and just
go
on with the rest
of my
shower.
You don't want to ruin your phone.
Right. Why don't you dry them off?
So that's why when you first get in the shower, you kind of have to do the bit.
And then if I like the video, I'll let it sit. If not, maybe I'll, at the end of the shower, say, you know what? What can I do better? Maybe it'll something just to redo it quickly. Kind of, you know, I like this angle or like this little line that pops in my head better. So, but for the most part, it's one and done.
But if you're going to be known as the guy that's doing takes in the shower, I think you need to be loyal to that. Like how Dame is loyal to Portland, I think you need to be loyal to the shower. I have seen some breaking news things in the last 2 weeks where you're giving these reactions, but you're not in the shower. I think you have to be loyal to the shower bit, and I don't want to see you just sitting on your couch in the apartment because that's what you're trying not to be. So I think it would actually be good one day if you get a breaking news bit and you kind of do a little edited behind the scenes where you're running into the shower and keep it from the chest up, obviously. The neck up, and I think that would be a little bit more entertaining than it just starting off every time you in the shower. I feel like you got to add some props here, too. I've said this before. I know that you brought in the toothbrush a few weeks ago, which I don't get who brushes their teeth in the shower. I think you got to get like a rubber ducky. You got to get some props. Maybe you go get a shower cap, and you throw it off your head, and you go, oh, this is shower, no cap. You got to bring some props here, because then I do believe that the bit is going to get old if it's just Hickey's face, instead of sitting on his couch giving takes, Hickey's face just in the shower.
I like the cap idea, the shower cap. I can maybe fit that in there.
You got to get a rubber ducky.
The rubber ducky. I don't know where I'm going to put it or
just hold it. And spike the rubber ducky.
Moving my hands around. One hand is already preoccupied holding the phone.
The last video you put up, you got some not so nice comments. So Hickey did a shower no cap video today. Why Bill Belichick, this is Hickey's take once again, not mine, will be fired after the 2023 season. Do you mind if I read you some of the tweets that have been sent your way?
Sure, let's hear them. Oh, this is like a little Jimmy Kimmel mean tweets-esque.
Yeah. Is that Fallon or Kimmel?
I don't know. Honestly, those two are basically the same person. So
I
want to
say
it's
Fallon. I could be wrong on that, though.
Did I say Kimmel? I apologize then to Jimmy Fallon if that's his bit. I think you're right about that.
So I tweeted, I may put a plug in Hickey's shower drain. Now, that was just because I didn't like the take. It wasn't that I didn't like the video. I just didn't like the take because you're going after my guy in Bill Belichick. Erica Herskowitz, who works here, who is like the nicest person on the face of the planet, she wrote, in the shower with the question mark, get serious. That has to be a humbling moment where I call her my radio godmother, Erica Herskowitz, is telling you to get serious because I guess this is the first time that she's seen you put up, what, the 8 or 9 shower no cap videos.
I got a little response for Erica. I got a little fastball coming her way.
What did you tweet?
Well, I haven't tweeted yet, but I'm about to. Now it just popped in my head.
Well, can you tell the listening audience?
Sure. You root for Rutgers? Question mark. Get serious. Boom. Roasted. See you later.
Ah, come on. You root for Penn State.
Yeah. Damn right I do. That's right. That's right. That's a sense of pride.
I know, but what has Penn State really won in the last 10 years? They won one Big Ten championship and didn't even get to the college football playoff.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
A lot of schools like that, but.
Respond. I don't think you want to get in a respond off with Erica Herskowitz. She comes off as she's one of the nicest people on the planet. I think if need to, she could get really vicious. And I think she would be more dirty and more lethal than you would be.
I'll put the gloves on. I don't mind doing a little sparring.
Marino 4K says, so he's now doing hot shower takes? That was one of the tweets. Larry says, five. This one's actually funny. Larry says he's using that phone purchased with your credit card, Gelb, this morning, which is a very good take.
That's good. Props to Larry there.
Which, you know what? In my investigation, if someone bought an iPhone on my credit card this morning, I don't know who the heck did it. It was $1,200. I'm getting 3,000 emails today in a bunch of different languages that I don't even know how to read. As my email been hacked and my credit card's been hacked, I wouldn't put it past you, Hickey. Maybe during a break, you just stole my credit card, and now the whole email thing is just kind of to sidetrack me from actually going back to you and thinking that you stole my credit card.
I like to think I'm smart. I'll say this. I am nowhere near smart enough to hack anyone's information and then know what to do with it. So you're safe. Plus, also, you're a friend, so I would not do that to you.
Jazzy P. Daddy on Twitter says, why is Hickey peeing in the shower? Wait, are you peeing in the shower on these videos?
No, but I'm saying, like, anyone who says they don't pee in the shower is a liar.
You also share that shower.
So?
So you're just peeing in the shower, no problem?
Yeah, if Lauren peed in the shower, I wouldn't care. What do you mean? It's going down the drain.
You sure you're getting it right down the drain? You're not missing anywhere?
Even if you miss, it doesn't matter. The water from the shower is going to wash everything down. Soap doesn't stay in the bathtub when you're done showering. It gets washed down. Everything that drops to the ground in the bathroom or in the shower gets washed down.
I think that's a little disgusting.
You don't pee in the shower?
Haven't in a long time. Emergency situations
only. I guess.
Emergency situations only. James Kasten said, things you get interested when you guys actually discuss this topic later, which we will be doing coming up later on in the Zach Gelb show next hour. And then Brian Helwig says, I don't think you're going to like this one. How was this guy hired by CBS Sports Radio? It's mind-boggling. Some of the worst takes in the history of sports.
He said yesterday to the last video I posted, this is the worst segment or worst thing on the internet. Judge took a compliment.
At least he's consistent, but he's coming back for more.
That is, to have something be the worst on the internet is hard to do. So let's go. I'm doing something right.
I love that you remember Brian Helwig. That means he's got under the skin of Hot Take Hickey. So we just found that Hickey urinates in the shower, and he brushes teeth in the shower as well.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.